Please take your Bibles, open the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16. I'll be reading verses 1 through 10. And out of reverence to God, please stand as His word is read. Okay. You tell me after I read it. Acts chapter 16, beginning of verse 1. Paul went on to Derbe and Lystra, where there was a disciple named Timothy, the son of a believing Jewish woman, but his father was a Greek. The brothers and sisters at Lystra and Iconium spoke highly of him. Paul wanted Timothy to go with him, so he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, since they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled through the towns, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem for the people to observe. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, and they had been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. When they came to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision in which a Macedonian man was standing and pleading with him, "Cross over to Macedonia and help us." After he had seen the vision, we immediately made efforts to set out for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. You may be seated. To have my wife help me get my sermon illustration right, because she told me this thing, and I'm going to relay it to you, and if I get it wrong, then I didn't want her. But what I said was this, the point would have been the same, but it's if I can get it right, I'll do it right. Okay, now, Sunday we were talking about a disagreement between Paul and Barnabas, and Paul had gone to Barnabas and said, "Let's go back and revisit all those towns where we presented the gospel of Jesus Christ." And Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, said, "Let's take John Mark with us." Now, one thing I didn't tell you, I went to elementary school with a boy named John Mark, and John Mark Roberts. It's just, and we went all the way through elementary school together. And so every time I say John Mark, I picture John Mark Roberts from elementary school. He was a good boy. Yeah, he always had a fancy lunchbox, I remember. It's just, we were all impressed with his lunchbox. I don't remember if it was the latest superhero lunchbox or whatever, but it, all I remember, we liked his lunchbox. It might have been his mom sent good stuff in it. I don't remember. Those were the days you went, they had flying saucers. I don't know if you ever had flying saucers. It's a piece of bologna with a dollop of mashed potatoes on top of it. That's what they liked to cook. And they fried the bologna. And they called it a flying saucer. Yeah, so you got your meat and, well, meat product and mashed potatoes. Meat potatoes. But maybe that's what John Mark Roberts had a better lunch than that. Okay. Anyway, I digress. John Mark had started out on the first missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas. But at Perga, he went back home to Jerusalem. And Paul thought that he was someone that couldn't be trusted to stick to the mission when things get tough. We don't know for sure why John Mark went back. We just know he did. Barnabas was, the encourager. And we talked about how Barnabas had encouraged Paul when he was known as Saul. Saul was the one that was persecuting the church. he had a meeting with Jesus Christ. You know, Murphy, you can sort of relate to this. He had this bright light come down, but he couldn't see for several days. You can sort of better relate to what Saul experienced on that road to Damascus. But a lot of us, I did it sort of the other day. I was helping Joe change out some light bulbs. And, you know, when you tell them to turn it on to check, don't stare at LED light bulbs. You will have this bright light in front of your eyes for a while, and it's hard to go find a replacement light bulb when you get this glow right here. Okay. Well, yes. All right, don't look at these lamps. Now, some people are going to look up at the lamps now. Now, if you were in my kindergarten class, you would do that. Light lamp? Yeah. Okay. John Mark went back home for some reason. Paul, who had been encouraged by Barnabas and taken him to the church in Jerusalem and introduced him, said, "You can trust this guy. He has met Jesus, and he's a changed man." Well, Barnabas could have been doing part of the same thing. John Mark has changed. Later on, we know that Paul, toward the end of his life, says, "Can you bring Mark with you?" And in another part, he says, "You know, everybody abandoned me except Luke and Mark." So he was there with Paul later on in his life. It was just at this point that Paul thought it was not a good idea. And we looked at the book, the verse in Proverbs, which says, trusting an unreliable person in a difficult time is like a rotten tooth or a failing foot. And that's Proverbs 25:19, if you want that one. And so Larry can sort of relate to that, the tooth that had to be taken out. So Paul and Barnabas decided Barnabas is going to go one way. He went to the island of Cyprus, and Paul went the other way. Now, both of those were where Paul and Barnabas had been before. So instead of two people taking one trip, they had four people going in two different directions, so they multiplied their ministry. And sometimes we might think, well, it was because of Paul's stubbornness. They shouldn't have done that. No, God was working in this situation. It didn't say Paul started throwing things at Barnabas. You know, I experienced that today, and a student throwing toys and chairs and everything in the room. You know, there's pictures somewhere. It was an interesting situation. Well, it was a tiring day today, but everything's good. Paul didn't throw things at Barnabas. Barnabas didn't throw things at Paul. They agreed to go two different directions. And God used that situation to further his kingdom. And they spread the message of salvation. And this is where the illustration I was getting from Lana comes in. We talk about being saved. And a lot of people in churches today don't talk about being saved. Lana was sending, she saw a neat post from Franklin Graham about churches falling down on the job of preaching what we're saved from. And at one church, this child understood, you know, Jesus is the one that saves us. But then they asked him, what does he save us from? And it's raccoons, snapping turtles, and sharks. Well, sometimes we even if we preach that Jesus saves us, we might need to explain what he saves us from. And there is a fire in hell prepared for Satan and his rebellious angels. Those who reject the offer of forgiveness from God choose to go to hell because they've rejected the, back to the Monopoly game, the get out of hell free card. It's not free. It's free for us. But it costs Jesus. He paid the price when he died on the cross to save us from the fires of hell that we deserve because of our sin. Think about it. If you had a judge that had a mass murderer standing before him, and he says, you know, you're wearing a very nice suit. You clean up nicely. Go free. You'd say, that's an unjust judge. The man has murdered many people. But we have a God that is not less just than a man who will see wrongdoing and demand punishment. But we also have a loving God that paid the punishment himself. So Paul took Silas with him, a man that God had prepared, who was also a preacher. Barnabas apparently wasn't much of a speaker. He let Paul do all the talking. And Paul and Silas, they went north over land. Barnabas and John Mark took a ship and went to Cyprus and went that direction. But they went and strengthened the churches, both. That's the last we hear of Barnabas in the book of Acts. That doesn't mean that Barnabas' work was done. It just means that the story where Barnabas is interacting with Paul in the book of Acts is over. We don't see Peter mentioned anymore in the book of Acts. He's still doing ministry. Well, we continue following with Paul, and he goes to Derbe and Lystra. Those are two of the cities that he had preached in before. If you will, to sort of get the illustration, we're going to take Texas as the area where he preached. He goes back to Houston and Austin, and he's preaching the word there. The churches were started in Houston and Austin, and he goes, when he gets there, he finds this guy named Timothy at Lystra. Now, Timothy, he has a Jewish mother and a Gentile father. Now, Paul's ministry was he first went where the people were God-fearing and into the synagogue, if there was one. Well, Timothy is going to be working with Paul, so he has him circumcised because he would not have access into the inner part where the Jewish men would sit in the synagogue. He wouldn't be able to converse with them, with Paul, because they'd say he's a Gentile. He needs to sit behind the partition back there, but he can't talk. Well, they all knew that Timothy's father was a Greek, so to help proclaim the message of Jesus Christ and the salvation of from the judgment of God, Paul had him circumcised. Now, circumcision, you might say, well, that disagrees with what he was talking about just in the previous chapter where people say you have to be circumcised before you can become a Christian. Paul didn't have Timothy circumcised for salvation. He had him circumcised so he could open the door for Timothy to speak to the Jewish people. Titus, another worker with Paul, in Galatians chapter 2, he says, Titus, some people said he had to be circumcised. No. Some people said circumcision is part of your salvation. No. And Titus was a different situation. In Galatians chapter 2, let's turn there, verse 3. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 3. But not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because some false brothers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus in order to enslave us. But we did not give up and submit to these people for even a moment so that the truth of the gospel would be preserved for you. Titus was a different situation. He was not going to work with Paul in the synagogue, leading the Jewish people to Christ, but Timothy was. And as Paul and Timothy and Silas went through the area, Houston, Austin, and in between all the towns where they had preached before, it says they gave the message from the church in Jerusalem, and the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Now, Paul's going to go on to new territory. Remember, he's in Texas. Well, it says, then they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. So they went to try to go up to Oklahoma and Kansas, or in Arkansas. The door was shut there. It says, they had been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. So equivalent that would be New Mexico and Arizona. Later on, there's a moving message there. Matter of fact, in the area known as Asia in the Roman Empire is where the seven churches are from Revelation. So there are churches there, but it wasn't Paul's time to speak the message there. So he's in Texas. He's trying to go up to Oklahoma and Arkansas. The guy said, no, you can't go to New Mexico or Arizona either. So he's traveling through these places, but there's not an opportunity that God allows him to preach and to start a church. Come about Tucson, Arizona, he has a vision. Go to Nevada. The message came from a man, a vision from Nevada. Come to Nevada. The message needs to be proclaimed in Vegas. And you know Vegas' reputation, right? We're going to see some of that with the cities where Paul went. So, in verse 10, notice there's a change. After he had seen the vision, we immediately made an effort to set out for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. It went from he and they to we and us. Luke has now joined them. Now, it's not Tucson, Arizona, but it's actually Troas is where Luke joined Paul and Silas and Timothy. There's a transition. Remember, Luke is the one that wrote the book of Acts. And now we'll see the we did this. We went here. We went there. Before it was he went there. They went there. Now Luke is with the group. And so as we look at this, we can see sometimes God has places for us to go. And others, he has places for us not to go. He has other people for those places. Now, we cannot minister everywhere. We have a limited lifespan. God has orchestrated that we spend our lives in places where he has called us to be. For Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke now, it's up in Macedonia. That would be modern-day Greece today. And we're going to see in Galatia. Philippi is where he goes to next. The book of Philippians is from and Thessalonica, the first and second. Now, my tongue got caught around my eye teeth. I couldn't see what I was saying. First and second Thessalonians, that's all up in this area of Macedonia, where Paul is going to go. And God has a message for us from Thessalonians and from Galatians and from the book of Acts. And God had a message that Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke needed to take to those cities. Philippi was an interesting city, and we'll get into some more details of that a little bit later. So was Thessalonica. But God says, this is where I need you. We need to be listening to where God needs us. Sometimes we want to go somewhere and God says, no, not there. God knows how to direct us. And we need to not look at God saying no as, I'm done with you, so no, I got something else. God has a different place for you. I was a missionary to high school students, and now I'm a missionary to kindergarten students. God has moved my ministry. He opened the door for me. You know, Paul had his vision. Come to Macedonia. I had a phone call from a principal in elementary school. Can you come over and work at this elementary school? God directs us to different places. Now I'm working with people with the setting a foundation, a different group of people that God has placed me there to be a missionary. God has brought me here to be a missionary here as part of this church working with you. God has brought each of you to a place that you're to be a missionary. And you say, well, I want to go over there, but God says no. That's okay. God has a different place for you. He wasn't through with Barnabas. He wasn't through with John Mark. He wasn't through with Paul. He wasn't through with Timothy. He wasn't through with Silas. He just had different places for them to go. God has different places for us to go, and we need to be open to where God has called us to go. Everybody needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. They need to hear the truth. Let us be a truth teller to a world that is being told lies about God, about judgment, and about salvation. It's not snapping turtles and sharks. It's the judgment our sin deserves and the fires of hell that God has saved us from. Jesus Christ, no other name under heaven has been given to men by which we must be saved. Let us share that with others. Stand with me for our closing prayer. And we'll get out here before it gets too dark. Lord, I thank you for your love for us. God, I thank you that you have saved us from the fires of hell by your sacrifice on the cross, dying on our behalf. Let us share your name, Jesus Christ, with others, that people can see how to be saved. Let us be the light in the darkness. In Jesus' name, amen.